O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughing stock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence, destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. Jeremiah, the young prophet, says this after he was beaten by another priest. Why? Because he prophesied the destruction of Judah for her impenitence and idolatry. There are false teachers who will tell you the Christian life is supposed to be one of peace and prosperity. All you got to do is have enough faith and be obedient, and God will bring these things to pass. That lie is exposed, however, when we compare it to the lament of God's very own prophet. A laughingstock, an object of mockery and scorn, the very word of God itself had become a reproach for Jeremiah, who was faithful. He spoke the truth. He made the good confession. He brought the people God's holy word and found hostility in return. In Jesus' day, things weren't all that different. The gospel lesson for this morning has Jesus sending out 12 lucky disciples. Bear in mind, Matthew 10, that episode occurs early on in Jesus' ministry, and the disciples are still learning what it means to proclaim the kingdom of God. They are not the bold speakers compelled by the Spirit that we find in Acts. These are freshman students of Christ, and they are being sent out as sheep in the midst of wolves, Jesus tells them. But it gets worse. Not only were they plucked from their vocations, not only are they going out into a hostile environment, not only will they suffer at the hands of court officials and other false prophets similar to that of Jeremiah, but they will even suffer strife in their very own families. Christ warns them of this. Jesus tells them, there will be strife for the sake of the gospel. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Thus saith the Lord. The peace that Jesus brings you, the peace of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, against the world, such peace is a sword that cuts apart even families. The gospel clashes with those who deny it. Yes, even those of your very own flesh and blood. Many of you probably know what that's like. You know what it's like to be the only Christian in the room, surrounded by family members who do not make the good confession. Sometimes you can even feel the tension in the air. When there is one person who believes in and trusts in Christ, and there are others who do not. Confessing Christ, living the Christian life in a world that worships other gods isn't easy. A couple of weeks ago, I was on a retreat at the Guadalupe River, and I got the opportunity to speak to these young adults on the relationship between church and state. And I would say the chief concern for these young people was the issue of being Christian in an unchristian workplace. Their questions basically boiled down to just how does one live and speak the faith when surrounded by enemies of the gospel who would love to remove you from your work because you don't follow the ways of the world, but you follow the ways of your God. And I've had many discussions with you on the issue of how to be faithful while retaining your very job. The writer of Ecclesiastes will say, there is a time to speak and there is a time to be silent. This gospel lesson occurs later on in Matthew chapter 10, but in the beginning of Matthew 10, when Christ is sending out the disciples, that is when he says the rather famous verse, be wise as serpents, but innocent as doves. Sometimes the Christian needs to be a little serpent-like, slithering around, waiting for an opportunity to speak. Nevertheless, at the end of the day, wherever you are at, to be Christian is to confess. And when confronted with the opportunity to share the love of Christ, to speak about his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, confess it boldly and do not be afraid. Fear not, says your Lord. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. To be Christian is to confess. To have faith means to confess. It means speaking the truth in love with clarity and conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord. The heart filled with faith cannot help but do this. Compelled by the Holy Spirit, the very children of God make the good confession that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God, sent to forgive and rescue from sins and give eternal salvation. To be Christian is to confess your God. But beware. When you confess the truth, friends, you are at the same time saying one thing is right and the other is wrong. Last Sunday was Holy Trinity Sunday, and it is the custom of the church to, on that day, confess the Athanasian Creed. If you're unfamiliar with that creed, I urge you to go this week and take a look at it. It is a creed that is bold to say, if you deny the Holy Trinity, if you do not believe that Christ is the very holy, only begotten Son of God, deny those things and you are outside of the kingdom. The Athanasian Creed says that. Acknowledging Christ before men, that means speaking the very truth of Jeremiah, the truth of the apostles, the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And remember, the dangerous thing about truth is it implies one thing is right and something else is wrong. To say you believe in Jesus and his teaching is at the same time to say, yes, there is such a thing as sinful behavior, and yes, there is such a thing as souls and bodies being destroyed in a real place called hell. To say you believe in Jesus, that he is the way and the truth and the life, that only through him does one have access to our most holy God, then you are at the same time saying it is only by him that one can be saved. Our sins are too great, our bodies are too weak for us to climb our way into God's kingdom. This we cannot do. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven, but whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Friends, there is always that temptation to simply be quiet, to water down the truth to make it more palatable for the masses. It is a temptation for God's holy Christian church to morph herself into something the world will like. It's a temptation for the church to, out of fear, begin to listen to culture, to do things that will please culture, to speak in a way that pleases the world. Acting that way out of fear is the very opposite of what our Lord Jesus instructs us to do. He says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Friends, this is not Christ saying, fear your enemy. But this is your Lord Jesus saying, fear God alone. Fear, love, and trust in your Lord and your God, because the world cannot kill those who belong to God. The very Lord we have been given to confess is the one who has overcome the very world by his blood. Remember, it is Christ who bore all of your sins on that cross, being the ransom to purchase your body from death, making you his child, and giving you an inheritance the world doesn't have. The world will chase after false gods. The world hates Christ and his church because you don't follow along. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Our Lord Jesus has already overcome the ruler of this world by his atoning death, by his crucifixion. The great accuser cannot hold up your sins before you and throw them in your face and say, "You are condemned because of your transgressions." The justified sinner, the baptized faithful, have already been purchased, redeemed by Jesus, who has crushed the serpent's head. And he has taken the very sins that lead to death, and he has paid for every last one of them. This means that through the very Son of our most holy God, through Christ, heaven is open to you. The curtain of separation between you and your God has been forever torn. That phrase, everlasting life, that we hear so often. Everlasting life means persecutors of the church can kill the body only for the body to be restored at the resurrection on the last day, when your triumphant King returns in all his glory. Sickness, disease that ravages the flesh, things like cancer, pneumonia, mental illness, unexpected death, tragedy, enemies who kill God's children because they refuse to bow down to the gods of this world. None of those things, none of them, can kill the soul of the one who has been redeemed and purified by Jesus. Fear not. Even the hairs on your very head are numbered. Finally, remember your Lord Jesus. He will acknowledge you before the Father, just as he said. He will advocate for you, speak for you, stand up for you, telling the Father that, yes, you are part of his fold. You are in his flock. You belong to him. You are one baptized. And God promises those who are baptized to be united to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the God of the living who gives you life beyond this life. So when you confess Christ as Lord in a world chomping at the bit to eradicate God's church, no, she cannot do it. She cannot do it. The world cannot kill your soul. The world cannot take from you what God has given you for eternity. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.